Well, hey there, I'm Eric Dethridge.
And I'm Danielle Webster. Welcome back once again to Prairie Beat.
It's our weekly news podcast here at Prairie Public. Danielle, with so many things going on here in North Dakota and across the country, what are we going to be discussing today?
Well, this week, you know, the United States will not only be observing the 4th of July holiday. Obviously, we all know this year marks our 250th year as a country. And there's been a lot of excitement and discussion all year building toward that. This week is very exciting here in North Dakota as well, you know, as we officially open the Theodore Roosevelt Presidential Library.
Yeah, that's super exciting. I feel like we've been covering that for years and years at this point. What with all the planning and development of the facility, where to put it, you know, it was going to be in Dickinson at one point and then Medora, and that's where it is today. All that stuff, very cool to see it finally coming to be this week in that beautiful Western-themed town. And of course, we've had a lot of coverage and content focusing on that with Steve Inskeep just the other day in Bismarck talking to the executive director, Robbie Loff. And today, of course, the president making a stop. They're literally a whistle stop on a train to mark the occasion as well.
Yeah, pretty big, exciting day and a week, you know, for that matter. And I got to thinking about, you know, the 4th of July in general. It's one of those days I personally find it to be very nostalgic to look back on. You know, growing up in the Devil's Lake area, it was a big gathering day for my extended family. We had, you know, my great grandmother's birthday. So everybody would convene, you know, at the lake lot near Woodland Resort on Devil's Lake. We all brought, you know, buckets of Kentucky Fried Chicken for lunch. Mm. And then later that night, we would cook hot dogs and burgers and steaks and stuff on the open fire. My cousins would be firing off bottle rockets, firecrackers. We'd roast marshmallows, all that fun stuff. And then that evening, you know, at the Woodland Resort there, one of my favorite memories was before the lake came way up, you know, in the 90s and it flooded, there was actually a little island in the middle of Creel Bay right there. So we'd walk down to the resort and everybody would be sitting outside and watching fireworks that were lit off from that island. And it was really beautiful to see the fireworks over the water. Mm. It was beautiful. Yeah.
Well, when I was growing up, I don't have quite as extensive and beautiful of a story as that, but my neighborhood in Columbia, Maryland, a suburb outside of Baltimore, a planned community, we had a 4th of July parade in our neighborhood. It was called Friends of Longfellow Parade. And like, it was just a little thing. You know, you ride your bike, there'd be fire truck police and some politicians waving and stuff. But then all of a sudden, like, it got well known. Like, people from all over would come to see it. And so this little neighborhood parade in this suburb. And then, like, big politicians would come. Last year, I saw photos of Governor Wes Moore shaking hands, like, right outside my old house.
Crazy.
There in Columbia, Maryland. But fireworks, it was just left to the professionals. We would just go down to the lakefront in Columbia and watch them, and there you go.
Yeah, and you know, and today what I did was I walked around the offices here at Prairie Public, and I asked a few of our coworkers just to share some of their own memories of the 4th of July, and also about some of their plans maybe that they have for this year. You know, what are you going to eat? Where are you going to go? What are you going to do? And also, you know, with this being such a big, exciting time, you know, the 250th anniversary of our country, it's a special occasion. I asked about any reflections they may have on that.
As a kid, I used to do 4th of July with my grandma and grandpa, and we'd get some fireworks and blow off firecrackers and just have a nice meal. And then growing up, when my kids were little, we'd always have people over to our house and we'd do a lot of fireworks and barbecue. And now we go to my daughter's house and we're going to do family time there too and barbecue and maybe have a few fireworks, maybe not, it all depends. We usually do firecrackers and bottle rockets and smoke bombs and small stuff, and we don't buy any of that big stuff. We usually watch that for free. This year we're going to do pulled pork sandwiches and some dips and chips and different things to go with that.
Yes, celebrating America's 250th birthday is definitely a special and unique time. I'm going to try to do something locally here. I'm not going anywhere, unfortunately, but I'll try to find something to do and make it special. You know, happy birthday to America. And for me, celebrating with food is really important, and I think that's something I'm going to, that's going to be a part of what I do. Grilled burgers and brats, I think, are the most important things to cook on Independence Day weekend. I really like steaks, too. You know, you could add in some grilled salmon or something like that. If you're at the lake and you catch some walleyes, even better. But, you know, I like salads. I don't discriminate when it comes to food, but especially with grilled meats, that's a priority for me.
So I remember us doing fireworks, and then the cops would come and say, "You got to be quiet." And then my dad would say, "Well, we got a couple more, we got like a half an hour left." So then we'd blow up, we'd keep doing fireworks, and then if he saw the cops coming again, we'd run inside. But now it's legal, so now we do it, you know, we just do it every...
Yeah.
But when we were little, when I was little, my dad would spend a ton of money. It would be everyone in the neighborhood would come kind of in our area, and we'd put them all together and then just light them up. I don't remember a big show as being when I was little, but I do remember watching that.
Okay.
We would grill, and then everyone would just bring their own, like, pasta salad or, you know, sides or whatever. So, yeah, we would just grill. We still grill now. That's just kind of what we do.
On Little Cormorant, they have a 4th of July parade. So we sit and watch that, and then we all go on the boat and watch fireworks. The whole lake fills with boats, usually, watching the fireworks. So my mom used to make red, white, and blue Rice Krispies, or Oreo layered dessert with the different colors in it, or Jello layered as the flag. She can be festive.
Yeah, and the Jello is, I feel like that's a very Minnesota, North Dakota.
Yes.
I think we're making strip and go nakeds this weekend.
What are those?
Those are with the lemonade, that the frozen lemonade concentrate, beer, and vodka.
Oh, my.
I think it's good. We're doing it because we heard that they're eliminating the lemonade and orange juice concentrate. And so we decided this could be our last time ever doing this.
Yeah, like the last hurrah of the...
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
I think we always tried to find, like, a fireworks show, whether that was, like, in town at the local casino or school. And when I was a kid, we'd climb into the back of my dad's pickup truck and watch it all together. And it was always fun when we'd get a little bit too close and we'd have, like, firework ash falling onto us. And I still really like fireworks. I love the ones that look like... they're like gold and they kind of glitter as they're coming down. But I feel like I don't like seek them out as much. Maybe that's a good reminder to me that I should this year.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's always the best when it's reflected on water too, I feel like.
Yeah.
Yeah. For my work at Prairie Public, I've been spending a lot of time understanding the significance of our journey as a country and what has shaped us in the past, but it's also a really fun chance to think forward and maybe add a layer of like hope and excitement to what's to come. I think it's been really fun to understand the complexity of the past, but then take that into the future and know that, like, I don't know, the human spirit is so beautiful, and we have a lot of work to do, but
we're gonna do it
yeah. All together.
I've always thought, of course, of America over the years as a land of opportunity, and to imagine that 250 years of building that foundation of immigrants, of citizens, anyone having opportunities, limitless opportunities, is something that I wholeheartedly want to see continue. And there's so many amazing minds and people and hearts in this country that I hope that can persevere. And I mean, I know it can. It's just, you know, realizing that we have a very unique situation here in the United States, and we want to continue that for generations to come.
Well, thank you to our colleagues here at Prairie Public today for sharing those memories and thoughtful thoughts with us for this episode here ahead of America's 250th birthday. I think it's nice to hear a little snapshot of perspectives from the Prairie region. I know it's just our office. It's a tiny little morsel of a snapshot, but hey, we're here and we got it. And I hope you enjoyed that. Poignant time, really, to reflect on the history of this nation and the people who were here before this nation was formed, centuries before the 250 years prior to now.
I've been thinking a lot about that too as well. You know, America is still pretty young, you know, as a country, you know, only 250 years old compared to many other places across the world. But we have such an incredible story to tell and to keep telling, which, you know, it's still unfolding every day. And one thing about the United States is that it's pretty much the only place in the world where the country is based on ideas. It's ideas of freedom, of self-governance, opportunity, and of citizenship. So it's a very unique place in the world. We have a great opportunity this week to reflect and celebrate that.
Yeah, indeed. And going back to my hometown of Columbia, Maryland, you know, I sort of undersold it a little bit, but I'm very proud of that community because it was created by a developer named James Rouse, who wanted to build out of the ashes of segregation and Jim Crow a place where people from all different backgrounds, walks of life, and skin tones can live and go to school together, work together. And that's how I grew up. I grew up in a very integrated place, something that we all take for granted, but at the time was a very radical idea. And I think that we're all still trying to strive for those great ideas that were formulated on paper 250 years ago.
Absolutely.
Well, we certainly hope and wish that you have a safe, fun few days here as you celebrate the 4th of July. Be festive, but of course, be safe. That's the main thing. We don't want any limbs being lost on the 4th of July, as unfortunately tends to happen. So, Danielle, what other stories have you, Dave, and Todd been working on this week?
Well, Todd spoke to the president and CEO at the Great Plains Food Bank about food insecurity issues in the state right now. The Red River Valley Fair is getting underway here this week as well. Fairgoers can take advantage of ND Sober Ride with a discount code if they are enjoying adult beverages there. And Dave wrote his column this week about his plans for live coverage of the Theodore Roosevelt Presidential Library. That story is certainly a gift that keeps on giving this week.
Yeah, it's going to be fun on Saturday. Dave's going to have Michael Patrick Cullinay at his side. He, of course, is a prominent historian and Theodore Roosevelt scholar at Dickinson State University, so you'll get that perspective. I have a chat with Prairie Rose Seminole about sort of indigenous perspectives of a library. Speaking of that, Chef Candace Stock, the executive chef of Salt and Scoria, the unique restaurant that serves indigenous foodways there to the throngs of people that are going to be there. I have a chance to have a chat with her, and I'll take you behind the scenes at some of the very cool exhibits inside the library. If you get a chance to go, go, because the experience is very stirring and it will leave you feeling actually pretty hopeful about America's next 250 years.
Excellent, excellent. Well, you know, for all that, be sure to tune in to Prairie Public or, you know, for more news as well. And you can also check us out online at news.prairiepublic.org.
All right, that's it for us this week on Prairie Beat. I'm Eric Detheridge.
And I'm Danielle Webster. We'll see you on the beat next week.